I did watch Texas A&M go down 30-3 at half.
Yep.
And as my dad was on his way driving down to UCLA, we were talking, and he was talking about it. And I said, you know, Dad, the best time to be down 30-3 is with a whole half of football.
Yeah.
He said, well, they'll have to score every possession. I said, that's no big deal.
But I didn't after the game, Shane Beamer, the South Carolina coach, said no one was celebrating. No one was – we kept an even keel. Everything was under control. And then afterward on social media, people overlaid that quote with him celebrating like they just won the Super Bowl. Coming off the field at halftime, pumping up the crowd. So – they very much were counting their chickens, as the kids say.
Do the kids say that?
I don't
that?
Think the kids say that. But.
So speaking of the kids, I watched college football in a unique environment.
Oh.
The Ohio State game was on at 7:30. I had a former Ohio State friend visit me with another friend. So we were going to watch that game, but it was at the same time as a music performance by some friends of mine that I had promised to go to. So I went to the Toledo School for the Arts and their new venue, which is gorgeous.
Where
and
is
I
that?
Saw the Antivalent. It's right in downtown. It's on Adams Street in like 14.
Yeah, gotcha.
And we were the guys in the back listening to a very quiet, poetic, gentle performance with Ohio State football on the YouTube TV and the chair between us.
Love it.
So you know, I keep an eye on, you know, both left and right hemisphere stuff. Yeah. State, another 7-minute drive. They just plod. And then my favorite highlight was the is it Peoples? The Peoples hurdle?
Oh, the hurdle.
The Peoples hurdle.
Yeah. Incredible.
So that was, you know,
are you a little worried about Carnell
that
Tate?
Brought me out of my seat, and then I was suddenly just giving a standing ovation to the band.
You worried about Tate and Jeremiah Smith?
I am.
Ryan Day said they're working to get back, but no guarantees.
The only thing guaranteed, Dave, is the heart of the rivalry, the Blades College Football Show, brought to you, of course, by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill. He's sports columnist Dave Briggs. I am photographer and man about the music scene, Phil Kaplan. And this episode is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts, backed by 120 years of quality and craftsmanship. From consultation to installation, Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. And of course, Dale's, where we're going to get to.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get up there.
Next week.
Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee, whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or a bar stool just to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads, and 21 beers on tap. There's something for everyone to enjoy. What did you enjoy most about Pittsburgh? Did you get the
Primanti Brothers?
Yeah.
They sell them in the stadium though. No, it was a good trip. Not the result we would have wanted for the hometown star.
Mason
Heinchel, 18-year-old true freshman for Pitt, 3 stars out of high school at Clay. Only had one power conference offer. Toledo was the first school to offer him. Then a trickle of group of five offers came, Bowling Green, Liberty, Kent State, that kind of thing. And Pittsburgh was the one school that kind of saw what the other schools missed, just kind of this dual threat wonder with just kind of a maturity that matched his game. And he's been incredible. The plan was for him to redshirt this season, sit behind Eli Holstein, who's a former 5-star Alabama recruit, a transfer. He was the incumbent starter, so no way in a million years would you have thought Mason Heinchel was going to be the guy, at least this year. But after a 2-2 start, Pittsburgh goes to Mason Heinchel. He just kind of takes the nation by storm. 40 points. Pitt scores 40 points a game, averages 40 points a game, 5 straight wins. And it all sets the stage for Notre Dame at Pittsburgh, college game day in town, playoff implications, everything. And it was an awesome scene. At game day, the fans were chanting Mason Heinchel's name, Mason Heinchel. And just inside the stadium, it was kind of crazy. Like, you know, a year ago, Mason Heinchel's playing in front of 1,000 people in the Northern Lakes League, leading the Eagles to a Cardinal Division championship. And now at the team shop inside Heinz Field, or I guess it's Acrisure Stadium, they're selling his jersey front and center. One of the souvenir stands, it was between a Tony Dorsett and Dan Marino throwback jersey, and there was Mason Heinchel in the middle. So decent company. That was a good learning experience.
That's quite an ascension.
Yeah, quite next stop Canton, baby. But yeah, it was kind of certainly a long day for Pitt and Mason Heinchel, normal part of the You know, actually, nope. I don't know if anybody would have succeeded with that supporting cast necessarily in that scene against Notre Dame, but Mason Heinschel has had better days, and he will have much better days in the future. But the bigger picture, awesome scene, and Pitt has found its quarterback and a rising star nationally who we will be following.
The luster had to come off pretty quick when he threw the pick six right away. The Pitt six.
The Pitt six, yeah. It for sure did, but it was...
But he hang in there, you play a full game. Did you see some highlights? Did you see the makings of Mason Heinschel ascension?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the way he can, once plays break down, the way he can get out of the pocket, his arm, just his vision, and just kind of, you can tell he has a preternatural feel for the game.
Oh,
again, as the kids
that
say.
That is a $10 word.
And he, he's kind of the guy who makes something out of nothing and everything out of something. So it's, again, it'll be fun. It was, if you remember, Pat Narduzzi, their coach, kind of caught a lot of flack by saying it wasn't an ACC game. So he said, I don't care if we lose 100-10, as long as we win our next two games. So there was some truth to that. Wouldn't say it out loud before before a big game with the national stage, but there's some truth to that. Pitt is still in a tie for first place in the ACC, went out, and they're going to be in the playoffs still. So we'll see. Maybe that's not the first Mason Heinschel game to cover. Maybe Ohio State, Pitt in the playoffs. That'd be fun.
Oh, wow. Maybe not for Pitt, but
maybe
that would be
Pitt,
fun for us to cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? In the college football pantheon of names, Pat Narduzzi is one of my favorites.
Oh, for sure.
And then Narduzzi.
I think the news.
Yeah, I love that.
Refused to shake Jason Candle's hand after the game last year. So a little bit runs a little hot and cold. So he can.
Well, Dave, but that's a great segue
to
the red hot Toledo Rockets, who took it to Miami 24-3. They're now 6-4. We all know that's not the season that they wanted, but you play all the games and they're look pretty good.
Yeah, and can we first talk about the complete absurdity of Daquan Finn leaving the team in the middle of the season? One week he's Miami Skyline Chili Male Athlete of the Week. Miami's alone in first place atop the MAC, and Daquan Finn starring for the Redhawks. The next, our Chili Hero, is just gone. It was we were expecting Toledo to kind of have a big game against their former star quarterback, won 2023 MAC Player of the Year, then transfers to Baylor, and then boomerangs back to the MAC this year. And before we go on, I've seen a lot of revisionism kind of casting Finn as this just hired gun mercenary who left Toledo at the first scent of NIL riches. Like, that's not the case. Like, he was at Toledo for 5 years. He got his degree. He's part of a lot of good teams. Won the MAC title. Won MAC Player of the Year. So in a normal year, before players were allowed to stay for 10 years, he served his time. But, you know, he put in his time.
Tough turn of phrase, but the sentiment of the idea that
he
played 5 years.
Well, he put in his time. Yeah, all these players serve their 5 years and then move on.
But you would say, like, well, 5 years, that's already one more year than
right.
the normal
probably eventually going to be in the Toledo Hall of Fame. I mean, it's hard to win MAC Player of the Year and not.
And he had some sentiment that he wanted to stay.
I don't know if he wanted to stay. He wanted to
get
there.
But Toledo made it clear they were moving on from him with Gleason.
No, I think DQ would have wanted to come back to Toledo this year after the year at Baylor. And I think Toledo probably made clear that we're good. But
they were good.
Yeah,
and then,
DQ is a
DQ.
Yeah. DQ does something different and bails at the end of the year. Yeah, he was a surprise late scratch. Chuck Martin, the Miami coach, afterwards said, oh, we knew, he's been dealing with an illness. The kind of illness that kept him away from the stadium and, you know, just the biggest game of the year, and you just can't. So it must have been some kind of
illness.
Well,
our hearts go out. We hope he's okay.
Right, no.
To the DQ
and then,
family, of
And
course.
Then on Friday, Chuck Martin tells us Daquan Finn has moved on. The most bizarre statement, he says...
He's still on Earth.
Yes.
Oh, you said moved on. Oh, the illness didn't take him.
It did not. Hopefully he's fine. We do wish DQ the best. But he basically said, Daquan's moving on. He's going to go get ready for the NFL. He's got a chance to play the next level. So he's going to go and, train for the draft, and we had an awesome 11 months with him, and he's an awesome kid, and he's moving on. And Chuck Martin said this with kind of a little smirk.
How could you not?
It was just very weird. And he's like, so obviously this raises a lot of questions. The first is, did Daquan Finn just walk away from his teammates mid-season in the middle, peace out in the middle of a conference championship race? Or was there behind the scenes tension that pushed him out, or was a little bit of both? I've heard a lot of things on the rumor mill, but I'm not going to speculate when we don't have the story completely nailed down. But it is very bizarre. And I will say, if that's the sunshine and rainbow version of events that Chuck Martin's giving us, and that version is that Daquan Finn is leaving in the middle of a conference championship race to pursue his NFL prospects at the expense of his team, and, oh, by the way, his NFL prospects, which would... Because leaving your team at the end of the year, that would no NFL
great,
team.
Great I
would,
leadership.
Honestly, if he was kicked off the team, Miami would be better served for Daquan Finn's best interest to say he's been dismissed from the team than to let people think that he just quit on the
for
team.
For behavior so, detrimental to the team.
Or just something. It's like, yeah, because, I mean, that can encompass a million different things. And it's like, oh, okay, you know, just boys will be boys. That's a – but so, again, we're not speculating, but it's a crazy – situation, and it's just hard to overstate kind of the absurdity of the timing here. And because again, Miami is in the thick of the MAC championship race. If everything
they're not in the thick, they're in
they're
first.
Tied for second place.
Well, they were in first,
right? They Western Michigan is 5-1. If you look at according to who will win the remaining MAC games, according to ESPN analytics, which is kind of what will be similar to the Vegas line. If everything goes to chalk, if the favorite wins the rest of the games, we'll have Western Michigan in first place at 7-1 and a three-way tie between Toledo, Miami, and Ohio. And even though Miami lost to Ohio and Toledo, they would win that three-way tiebreaker because of a
overall
bizarre
record.
And now it just kind of gets into the weeds of records against common opponents and that kind of thing. But
bogus.
So it's that's just kind of again how crazy this all is. And again, we wish Daquan Finn the best, but wow.
In the words of the Talking Heads, Dave, uh-oh, love comes to town. I think Daquan Finn saw those golden rocket helmets coming
possible.
On and his heart went aflutter. He just couldn't face his old love.
That's possible.
That's what I think.
And and you asked about the Rockets. Yeah, they're doing well. the game probably would have certainly shaped or played out a little different if Daquan was in there.
You'd like to think that.
The backup looked all kinds of shaky, even though Toledo's defense is out of this world this year. Yep. Number two total defense nationally.
I share that stat with people all the time, and they are always shocked to find out.
They're a statistical freak show, again. Top 10 in Pro Football Focus, number two total defense, lead all the offensive categories in the MAC. It's crazy. But yeah, another incredible game by the defense. Offense did just enough, missed some opportunities early, but showed what they're capable of. And they certainly shouldn't have any trouble against Ball State at home on Saturday. And if they play like they're capable of, they should handle Central Michigan in the finale. So.
Probably
I do think Miami's going to lose one of the last two games. So that final game at Central Michigan is probably going to be a win and you're in type deal for Toledo.
Dave's predictions are not to be ignored because I don't know how you didn't nail the Northwestern. Northwestern worked so hard to give that game to Michigan. Michigan should be sending them thank you letters.
I ended up predicting Michigan in the paper by a field goal.
Oh, my God. Look at this guy over here.
Playing both sides of the fence here. I can claim.
Is that Griggs Tradamus? Well, you're allowed to. Listen,
my picks are later in the week. So, I mean,
It's fine. As long as you get it in before the kickoff, it's all legit, brother.
That was crazy.
Wildcats were game, but they gave it away.
I don't know if that's a good sign for Michigan that they were able to overcome five turnovers, be completely dead in the water, and then grit out that final drive. That was very impressive. But by the same token, I mean, this is a team that's just kind of absolutely living on the edge and in saying everything's fine. It just kind of feels like they're whistling past the graveyard here a little bit. There's a lot of issues. Their running game, their top two running backs. We know Justice Haynes is out. Jordan Marshall gets hurt against Northwestern. We'll see going forward. But I don't know. This Michigan team was kind of feels like some of those old Ohio State teams who are just kind of somehow, some way winning these games. And
dubs are dubs.
So eventually, the other shoe is eventually going to drop. And you'd think it will drop against Ohio State, but who knows?
They played in Wrigley, though. That's always cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Love that scene.
That was exciting.
Yeah. Bowling Green returns to Maction. The Akron Zips will be visiting the beautiful Doit Perry Stadium environs for a night game. And then BG is going up against UMass the next week. But earlier in the afternoon, it's all TV related. Tell us the inner workings of my television, Dave.
Well, Miami or Bowling Green and Toledo the next 2 weeks. Bizarre scheduling. It's almost like the MAC has just officially waved the white flag and said, you know, after 70 years, we're just going to give up. But Bowling Green at UMass is being played at 4:30 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon.
Going up on a Tuesday.
At McGurk Stadium.
4:30
I believe UMass did not get back to me yet, but I believe what happened was UMass was given the option of playing at night as these Maction weeknight games usually are, but it would be on ESPN Plus. If they wanted to be on TV, ESPNU, they were given the Tuesday afternoon time slot, 4:30 p.m.
Coveted.
The coveted time slot. And honestly, UMass is by far the worst team in the country. They're 0-11. There will be seven people, give or take five, at the game. I'm almost
family
surprised.
And friends.
I think it's a fascinating case study of is any publicity good publicity. I almost would not have blamed them for like, you know what, we don't really need this to be on TV. It'll just be BG blowing out UMass. UMass 0-11 will be under the UMass Chiron or whatever you say, and there will be nobody in the stands. I think is it good publicity just to remind people that your school exists, or is it kind of like, that doesn't look that cool? It kind of looks like dark and dank, and there's nobody there, and your team stinks. Like, what's the balance there between any news is good news?
I've played football games at 4:30 on a Tuesday. And that's
in
called
seventh grade.
Eighth grade. Yeah. Eighth grade. You got it. You got it. That is the junior high time slot. We like our Falcons. I mean, maybe fitting for UMass and BG at this point in the season.
Especially UMass.
Yeah.
But this is very much an out of sight, out of mind game.
They're not even arguably the worst team in football. They are the worst team in college
the
football.
Last winless team.
Unless you're a degen gambler, them being on ESPN isn't going to do anything but make people mad that they're missing, PTI.
Anything
or whatever
else in life.
Yeah, right. That's
and
wild.
Then Toledo, that's not even the dumbest thing the MAC is doing next week.
Dave, tell us the dumbest thing the MAC is doing next week.
I got something to tell you. Toledo at Central Michigan, which, as we said, could be a winner-take-all type deal. That game is going to be at noon on Saturday, opposite the Ohio State Michigan game. And as you know, it's a sensitive subject in these areas, but there's probably more Ohio State and Michigan fans in our areas than even Toledo fans, as much pride as people have for our hometown schools. And it's the same case in Mount Pleasant with Michigan and Central Michigan. So it's very bizarre. You would think you would just play it on a Friday so that could get a little bit of a showcase. And even if it's not going to be on TV, at least the fans can enjoy it and maybe go. And there are certainly some Toledo fans who will say, who cares about Ohio State? That doesn't affect me at all. But it's just very weird. There's two MAC games on next Saturday. And one of them was picked up for TV. That was the Ball State Miami game, which is probably going to be pretty meaningless.
Tilt.
The Toledo Central game was not picked up. So that's just going to be a streaming game, ESPN Plus or whatever. And so I don't know where to begin. It's weird that it's not on TV. It's dumb that it's going right up against Ohio State, Michigan. Should be on Friday. I don't know. It's just it's just kind of like you're intentionally trying to sabotage your product.
Sounds like you've began and ended. So put yourself in the shoes of the MAC conference and, there is a rationale for everything, even if it's unreasonable. And I think the answer to all your questions is, of course, money.
Yeah.
And you said that's, you know, what is actually good, good publicity. You don't think there's money behind it?
I don't think there's any money behind Toledo and Central Michigan playing at noon opposite Ohio State, Michigan.
Sure, I don't think that's a payoff, but the reason that those things happen are the machinations of money.
Oh, sure, sure.
Right?
Yeah. In some way, for sure, because they are setting aside a couple games for TV on that Saturday.
In the same way that everything is technically solar powered because we don't have a planet without the sun. That's that same way.
Yeah.
Okay. We cleared that right up. Bum, 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 bum. Trap game.
I do not think Ohio State, or I do not think Maryland will beat Michigan.
Okay, so we'll just do that real quick.
Yeah,
I'll do these trap, and I'll do these reads and we'll get out of here.
Trap game.
Trap game.
I'll open the trap door.
The annual trap game show of the Heart of the Rivalry is, of course, brought to you by Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee and Renewal by Anderson. Dale's Bar and Grill in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch all the college football action as well as NFL. Well, you know, this is still written as MLB playoffs, but we're done with those.
We are.
We are done with those. So why don't we do catch all the college football action as well as NFL at Dale's and NBA. You can catch some NBA.
Yeah.
And you see the Cavs beat
Ohio State basketball. The Bucks
they're good.
Last night. I don't know about that. But
oh, they have some exciting players, though.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
Michigan.
You can catch all those games at Dale's, one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio. Wolverines, still welcome, of course. Heart of the Rivalry also brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. Ready to transform your home with Renewal by Anderson. Buy one window or door. Get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. Dave, I want to ask you about the looming trap games in front of Ohio State and Michigan.
Two big trap games, Phil. Yeah.
Rutgers.
I know.
Sitting, lying in wait.
And going to
spring on the Buckeyes in Columbus.
Going to Maryland for Michigan. Yeah, we should be sitting in like those Austin Powers seats with the trap and Dr. Evil sitting over there.
Do you want to do your gag where you walk down the steps? Where you disappear?
Yeah. Because this is full trap game weekend. No. Ohio State kind of seems like they're going to not rest, but maybe give their top two receivers another week. I don't know if you saw Jeremiah Smith. He was really limping off the field. I don't know if that's all part of the long game to make it seem like they're not going to throw it to him against Michigan again. But I do think they'll hold them, both Carnell and Jeremiah Smith, out and be full strength, ideally for them, against Michigan. Shouldn't be any trouble against and Rutgers, obviously. And I do think these last two games kind of had a 50-50 feel, but Northwestern kind of felt like the tougher challenge. Northwestern a little better
totally
than Maryland.
Agreed.
I'm sure Michigan will probably play a little better. They're not going to turn it over five times. They showed some flashes. I expect them to take care of business, but and then set up the big game, which I know you're going to.
I am going to the
That'll
big game.
That'll be exciting.
With a college friend who has never seen Michigan. He's never been to an Ohio State-Michigan game.
Wow, okay.
So I'm excited.
It's quite the
I'm
cultural experience.
For him. He will be a guest in Casa de Kaplan.
Is he a Buckeyes fan?
Yeah, he's a grad. I always like to make the distinction. He's a graduate.
Nice.
So he actually went to the university for its intended purpose.
Love it.
Which, of course, is producing NFL banger wide receivers.
Absolutely.
But before we get out of here, man, did you see Shedeur Sanders take the field?
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the Browns?
Oh, yeah. I wrote about, that was my column for today, just about like how it's just an all-time football tragedy that they're wasting one of the greatest defensive players of all time.
Grant Delpit?
Well, I said
yeah,
that they're
Garrett
committing
is
the two greatest crimes against football going. And the one is the usual, just completely taking advantage of the best fan base in the NFL. And number two is letting just an all-time great in Myles Garrett go to waste.
You have four sacks
against
Baltimore?
10 sacks in the last three games. He might blow away the single-season sacks record. It's completely insane. They're almost on Barry Sanders' level in terms of wasting a transcendent talent.
Oh,
at least Barry Sanders got to the playoffs five times.
I think they're almost beyond that because the Browns are so inept. Detroit had some competitive teams around Barry Sanders.
I mean, they were for sure, and they went to the NFC Championship game. I just think it's funny. I mean, the Browns are just the master of the distraction. I was slipping through the channels the other day, and like First Take was just breathlessly debating Shador, and now people are, oh, should Dylan Gabriel go back in if he's healthy, or do you ride with Shador? It's like, who cares? They're both completely overmatched. And I wrote that it's just not to cite my columns, but like it's like the sports talk equivalent debate of debating like whether the Titanic band should play ragtime or jazz. It's like, who cares? It's like it's all going down.
Dave, this is a ragtime show.
I know.
You know where
I
we
know.
Fall on that ragtime side of the debate.
Rick,
we're a ragtime Rick show. And on that, we will play ourselves
right.
out. But you think I'd get some ragtime Rick?
Yeah.
I bet he'll let me get some music.
For sure.
You know,
we need a new theme song.
We're going to do that segment next week, which is Dave's quote of the week.
Yeah,
we'll get ragtime Rick to do the bumper music.
Love it.